What's up, everybody? Welcome to 5280 Nerd Podcast. My name is Micah McCartney.
And I'm Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on episode number 5 of the 5280 Nerd Podcast. Micah, how was your week, buddy?
Yeah, it was really good, man. It was a really, really good week. As you know, Sean, we kind of introduced ourselves to the public through social media this week. We got our Facebook page, we got our Twitter going, we got our Instagram going. So yeah, man, I just want to give a shout out to all the people who have really given us a lot of support and given us a lot of pointers and given us feedback on how we've done on this podcast. And I just thought it'd be important to thank all those people for all their input. It was a really good week, and me and Sean just feel so supported. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for, taking the time to listen to some of our podcasts. For anybody else that may be new or you're just getting into our podcast, please definitely check out our website at 5280nerd.com. You can see previous episodes. There's more show notes. It's a great way to get in contact with us if you have questions or have topics that you might like to hear us talk about on the show. This show is going to be a little bit different than we normally do. We have a little bit of news, not a lot going on in the nerd world this week, but we have a new segment at the end that we wanted to share with you guys, a little opportunity to get to know your hosts a little bit better. But before we do that, why don't we go ahead and recap last week a little bit?
Sure. So just for anyone who didn't listen to episode 4, last week we went over rumors for, the new Ghostbuster movie and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd. We'll have cameos in that. We kind of talked about that. We talked about the Fantastic Four movie that had a big flop last week. And we also talked about, Sean, the biggest thing was Heath Ledger's Joker Diary resurfaced a clip about a new documentary coming out on his life called Too Young to Die. We also talked about Beetlejuice, the new sequel coming out. And there was a lot of Destiny news last week. So this week there was some Destiny news, not really anything that we're going to talk about. They just did live streams for The Taken King. This week we're not really going to touch up on Destiny too much, but when we get more news about The Taken King, which me and Sean are very excited about, we'll put it on the podcast. So yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Micah, for giving that recap. So to go into the news for this week, we got a few things going on. D23 happened last week. For D23, for you guys that don't know, is Disney's big expo. They do it every 2 years. They had some cool stuff coming out. Disney definitely owns a lot more properties than they have in the past. They currently own, they're the parent company for Marvel. They also own Star Wars now. Ton of cool stuff coming out. They announced a Darth Vader PS4 that's coming out. I don't know if you guys remember, Xbox had a R2-D2 360 a couple years back, which I thought was awesome. Made little R2-D2 sounds, had a full gold controller to go with it as well. It was a huge success. People loved it. This one's not so great. It's got like a vinyl-printed like Darth Vader on the side, and it has a controller, and the only difference on the controller is it has like red buttons. Not too impressed. They could have done more, but
yeah, I think you're right, Sean. They could have definitely done a better design with it. But I mean, as far as PS4 goes, I mean, I guess it's better than a regular PS4, at least as like Darth Vader decal on the side. But
yeah,
I actually might get this, Sean. I actually might. Just because I was thinking about getting a PlayStation 4.
Sure.
So, yeah, man. No, but I agree. They could have done so much more. So much.
Yeah,
more.
I mean, when you have a property like that that you own now, the sky's the limit. Other than just, throwing a decal on the side or whatever and changing the color of buttons. You could have done more, but whatever. Some other cool stuff that happened at D23. They premiered or talked about a Doctor Strange movie, which is another Marvel property that they own. I don't know if you've read Doctor Strange very much in the past, Micah.
I haven't, actually. That's one part of the Marvel universe I haven't really read a bunch about. Yep. So I'm always excited to learn about new heroes and new stories in the Marvel or DC universe.
Absolutely. I mean, it's I'm really interested to see it because more than almost any other Marvel character, this character is like, it's all sci-fi and mysticism and magic, which we haven't really seen in a lot of the new superhero movies. They've kind of all tried very hard to make them realistic as much as they could. I mean, Thor kind of dabbles in that world a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one, from what I heard, they announced that they said that it's supposed to be a mix between Inception meets Harry Potter, which is a big claim, but they are able to pull that off. It sounds like the most amazing way to describe a movie ever. So,
I would completely agree with you. If they can pull it off to actually be like, I loved Inception, man. I love that movie. So
yeah, but to pull in the idea of like science and magic and mystery meets together, it's really cool. Definitely something that hasn't been done a ton. And from what I've heard, that it's supposed to be really close to the comic books. It comes out November 4th, 2016.
Sean, you have a lot of details. I heard about Disney building this new Star Wars land park where you can like fly the Millennium Falcon. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, absolutely. They also announced at D23 a couple different parks that they're opening the next couple years. Again, Disney owns the rights to Star Wars and their universe. So they're building a huge, ginormous 14-acre land themed just to Star Wars. It's going to have supposedly a giant Millennium Falcon. You could like get in the deck and look out and like fly it or whatever. But yeah, that's going to look amazing. You know, I haven't been to Disneyland or World, you know, since I was, I think, in junior high, maybe early high school. So it's been a long time for me. Definitely would be something I would go check out. 14 acres, I think, is the biggest land theme park expansion that either Disney World or Disneyland have ever done. So, yeah, I mean, that alone means that they probably have some stuff in the works that's just going to be massive. So,
yeah, no, that's a big addition. And I think that Disney's really smart. You know, they have the rights from George Lucas now, and they know that there's a lot of money to be had, and I would love to go check this out. I would definitely go to Disneyland or Disney World to check out this new attraction. So I'm very excited to see reviews and people going on these new rides. And, man, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. They also have two other parks that they're opening. One was like a Toy Story park. Not too interested in that one, obviously. And then they have like another theme that's supposed to be around
Avatar.
Yeah, the Avatar movies, our movie, which is okay, whatever. I mean, the movie was okay. It wasn't great. I feel like they're still trying to milk that cow. But
yeah. I wish it was just all Star Wars. I mean, I like Toy Story, and I get it, like for kids and stuff, and I do enjoy Toy Story. But I mean, just make it all Star Wars. I mean, that'd be way more profitable for them too, I'm sure.
Sure, you gotta grow the park. So we'll see. From what they say, the amount that they want to do, everybody's saying it's going to take a couple years before it's ever developed and built, just on the sheer size of all of the changes they want to do. Something else they mentioned at D23 was they showed the teaser for the Captain America Civil War movie that's coming out this year. They said that it had a cameo of the Black Panther, and Ant-Man, I guess, is supposed to be in it. I guess Ant-Man's kind of the comedic relief. I'm really interested in seeing Black Panther. From what I heard, it looks amazing. The costume's done really well. How about you, man?
Yeah, man, I agree. I think I'm really excited for Civil War. I think this trailer really got a lot of people excited. There was a good amount of buzz on the internet after they released it. Would you say, Sean? I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely.
I heard a lot of good excitement from it, and I think it's gonna be a great movie. I mean, Marvel really has delivered every single movie, you know, with Avengers, Avengers 2. I really believe that even with the Iron Man movies, I mean, they all haven't been a 10, but they've all been exceptionally well with production and script writing and true to the fans and what the fans want, delivering villains that they want and characters. So I think Marvel is on their A game right now, and I think this movie's going to deliver as well.
Yeah, they definitely have the formula figured out really well, so I'm sure we'll see another good movie. They got a couple more coming out over the next couple of years, so yeah, as long as they keep on doing what they're doing, they're going to keep raking that money in.
Yeah, yeah. So, Sean, moving right along, we heard some Grand Theft Auto 6 rumors. That's pretty exciting. The game is widely popular, widely successful. Rockstar cashed in millions and millions. Actually, I think it was a billion.
Yeah.
With a B.
Yeah, GTA 5 did $1 billion in the first 3 days it was released. So yeah, it's definitely a moneymaker for sure. They said GTA 6 probably scheduled around 2018. So we're a little ways out, but yeah, rumors are starting to fly. I know that I've heard some stuff about that they were talking to Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes, which they're a married couple now, about them doing a lot of the voice acting for the main characters in the game. I don't know if the location has been set on where it's going to be set. I know the last one was like pretty much L.A. was...
San Andreas or something like that.
So it was like San Diego and Los Angeles. But yeah, it was a fun game. GTA 5, all the GTA titles have been really good for what they are. If you're looking just to have a good time and blow up some steam and kill some hookers, it's the game for you.
Exactly. I mean, when it comes to GTA 5, I know... Let's talk about, did we enjoy GTA 5? I mean, I know me and Sean played GTA 5, and the multiplayer was a huge letdown. I mean, it was buggy from day one, and that's something they definitely can improve upon. And, I mean, a multiplayer, I feel like, should have been the most fun part of the game, but it wasn't. It really let down, and... I know there's a lot of mods out there now for online multiplayer for GTA 5. I didn't really experience any of those because I didn't feel like wading through them fixing their server problems to deal with that. But Sean, did you like GTA 5?
Yeah, man. I thought it was fun. Again, like I said, for what it is, it's just a great game that you're able to explore a world. It's an opportunity for you to just do whatever you want. The story was pretty good. It was pretty short. Like all of them are, you're playing kind of a... This one is actually a character that's been in the previous ones. He's retired, and through circumstances, he's pulled back into the old life that he lived and gets into trouble again. And there's like a redneck element to this one that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It was different. It's a good game. I think GTA 6, you know, hopefully they work out some of those bugs that they had with their multiplayer to get it kickstarted. But other than that, you know, it's a fun game, and it's a franchise that I'm sure is going to go on for a long time because it fits a niche, in a market that is just, it's a play box, you know, it's a sandbox for people to go in and, just have fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Well, we'll see. And moving on in the news, there's new Marvel comics coming out. Marvel announced their solicitations for November 2015. And there are a lot of new number ones coming out. We didn't want to name all of them here on the podcast. One, because there was a lot of them. And two, a lot of them we weren't interested in. So we just wanted to just kind of glance over these issues and talk about things that we would be interested in reading. And if you're a listener and you don't really read comic books, this would just kind of be like a guide to... You know, this might be something you're interested in if you're interested in Wolverine or the X-Men or Deadpool. That's what we're kind of doing, just like a little overview. So, Sean, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, absolutely. The first one that they announced is an all-new, all-different Avengers 1 and 2 is coming out. If you guys don't know what's going on in the comic book world, there's been a ton of changes, especially with the Avengers. Thor has passed the hammer on to a new young lady, actually. Mr. Marvel is now Miss Marvel. There's a new Captain America. Vision's a big part of the Avengers now. Spider-Man is different now. There's a lot of happenings.
And it looks like Nova's in there.
Yeah, Nova as well.
Yeah, it looks like... Yeah, it's an exciting time to hop on board for this, because if you don't have a lot of history with those original characters, you know, you don't have to really go back. You can just kind of jump on. It's a great jump on point, I think, for if you're a Marvel fan of these heroes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all different Avengers, we would suggest to pick up. It looks good. The art looks on point.
For sure. And yeah. Like a side note, with the Avengers, Marvel and DC have been making a strong effort to, you know, forever the typical superhero, you know, comic book started back in the 40s, the 30s even, has always kind of been like male character. Women were kind of side roles. But, you know, times are changing, and definitely the nerd culture and nerd world has always been pretty open to people and pretty accepting. If you've ever been to a Comic-Con, you definitely know what I'm talking about. They've definitely believe in treating people as equals. And so it's cool to see, even in the comic book world, that people are trying to take chances and make changes, and I'm sure they get a lot of flack for it. But wanting to stay relevant and wanting to stay current and give young girls positive role models to follow, and young men to see strong women, I think it's important. And, you know, different people of different races and creeds and colors is also important. So definitely don't want to get on a soapbox rant or anything. But yeah, it's cool. Definitely check it out. Give it a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you, Sean. It's just, comics are so great, and we encourage all of our listeners.
Sure.
If you really want more, just better stories, because all these stories that they're bringing to the cinematic universe comes from these comics, obviously. But they're really great, compelling, just fun stories, you know? We encourage anybody, I mean, go to your comic book shop, support them. Or if you don't want to do that, you can go on Amazon on Kindle. And, you know, that's how me and Sean read our comics now. We download them off Amazon Kindle, and that's really convenient for us. And we just read it before you go to bed. It's really nice to just stay in the loop with everything, and they're fun. They're fun, interesting stories. You can really get lost in them. Yeah. So moving right along, the next number one is All New Hawkeye. Cover looks pretty good. Art looks good. He's a hero that is compelling in the Marvel Universe. Interesting.
Yeah, and he's made a big impact in the thematic universe as well. So, I mean, I feel like that's probably one of the biggest reasons he's making a comeback in the comic world.
So. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, we would recommend that. Moving along to another one that I'm really excited about, Sean, is All New Wolverine. And on this cover is X-23. And for those of you who don't know who X-23 is, it is Wolverine's daughter. And not by just a little background of her. She's not actually, like, born from a woman. She was actually, like, cloned from Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But still technically his daughter. And she's a very interesting character. She's very, I don't know, I love reading more about her and getting to know her as a character. So this looks, Sean, I'm very excited about this. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, it's cool to see a new revamp. And we talked about it last week that Hugh Jackman is approaching his final few movies as Wolverine. Which have already probably been shot by this point, but are coming out in the next year or two. So maybe, you know, even in the movie universe, they're gonna make this switch as well. Might be a good opportunity to kind of take that jump. So,
yeah, absolutely. And then moving on right along, for the next number one is the All New X-Men. This cover looks good again. Art goes well. And it's pretty much like these young X-Men.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, I'm not familiar with all of the characters I saw in the front of the number one. But it looks like Iceman's in there, X-23, like we just said.
Looks like Cyclops.
Kind of taking up the role. Yeah, Cyclops. And
Archangel?
Looks like...
What's that guy's?
Yeah, it's like... It almost looks like younger kids in that role of the X-Men universe.
Yeah, they almost have like throwback outfits on from like Golden Age X-Men almost,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool. Yeah, so that's another one to look out for. Another one that we thought we should mention is Avengers vs. Infinity number one. whenever Marvel or DC does like a, they did a Wolverine versus the Hulk or Wolverine versus the whole Marvel universe. Sometimes they do those of, you know, Avengers versus somebody or somebody versus somebody. It's always interesting because you never really know where that story's going to go. Yeah. I mean, so I think that's interesting. It's always interesting whenever there's a rift between a hero and a hero or, you know, I don't know. I think it's worth mentioning. Would you agree, Sean?
Yeah, it looks like Nova on the front. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at the... Anytime they do that kind of stuff, when they have that crossover, it's just fun, you know? You get a chance to see people that you don't normally get to see cross paths.
Absolutely. It seems like a lot more action you're guaranteed in those versus comics, so... That'll be good.
Yeah.
And, Sean, Deadpool number one, of course. You know, we got the movie coming out that we just saw the trailer, so I'm sure we talked about earlier in the podcast last week. Deadpool is majorly hoarded out in the DC or in the Marvel comic books, and I'm sure they're going to get sales nose for this Deadpool number one.
Like
we
said last week, too, is just such an interesting character. He's the only... comic hero, to my knowledge, that's self-aware that he's a comic. And so I think even in the movie that they kind of make reference to that as well from some of the trailers and stuff I've heard. It's definitely really interesting, usually the stories that they're able to come up with because of that fact. I don't know what they're going to come up with now. Definitely working towards, I'm sure, with the movie coming out, want to capitalize on that. So
absolutely. And moving right along, we have Drax number one. Sean, I'm very excited about this. I'm a huge Guardians of the Galaxy fan. This is Drax the Destroyer. He has a very interesting origin story. He's just a badass. He's just a badass assassin who has these knives that kills a bunch of people. It's pretty dope. So if you're into that sort of thing, the cover looks really well and done, and I'm glad they're doing like a one-off of all these. It seems like we'll mention later, there's a Star-Lord number one, and I think Marvel's catching on that people are really interested in Guardians of the Galaxy characters, and that's great. I think that they should dive more into them because... 5-6 years.
Which is funny because nobody gave a shit forever about the Guardians of the Galaxy until the movie came
out. I bought three trades of Guardians of the Galaxy, and I remember that I was at the comic book shop. He's like, there's only like four more trades in the series. And I was like, that's it? Like I feel like they have totally underutilized the Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'm excited that they're diving deep more into these characters. So,
and with the movie success, I mean, I guarantee it's going to be...
it'll be another good seller. It's gonna sell for sure. Yeah,
which I'm sure the creators of Guardians of the Galaxy are finally just happy to see that it's getting recognition that they hoped it would always get. So
yeah, totally I agree. So Sean, you said you like Howard the Duck, and there's a Howard the Duck number one. Don't ask me how Marvel is still making Howard the Duck comics, but I guess it has a big strong fan base. I personally don't care for it, but I know that there are a lot of big fans out there for Howard the Duck, so I'll leave you to it, Sean.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie in the 80s, Micah.
I didn't. I've seen clips of it here and there. Oh, man. Yeah.
One of my favorite movies when I was a kid, which is awful because if you watch it now, it's full of innuendo. There's like a nude duck in it. It's great. I always liked it. I've read a couple of the comics, and they carry the same tone as the movie. From what I've heard, they're actually working on maybe doing a new movie, kind of alluded to in the end of Guardians of the Galaxy as well. The comic series is kicking back up. It's just a fun book, man. It's cool to think of all these different crazy universes full of like superheroes, and like there's a universe where Thor is like a normal person, and the people that are there are all these godlike people, or the universe where Superman comes from and all this stuff. But to think of like a universe of just ducks, like duck people,
yeah,
It's just fun, man.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. It is interesting. And just a glance over, there is a Hercules number one coming out. I don't think we mentioned that, Sean.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
The cover looks awesome.
Great. The art looks incredible. And I honestly don't think you can go wrong with Hercules. I think it's great. It's a great character, I'm sure, to write. And if you're interested in that, everybody has their different preferences. So if you enjoy more sci-fi, like star space type of space fighting, there's a market for you. If you enjoy more like Greek mythology, like God kind of fiction, well, Hercules would probably be right up your alley. So there's always a style for everybody. So I think...
And if you were reading Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians 3000, the previous run that was out before the new one that's coming up.
Yeah.
Dan Abnett is the guy who's writing Hercules, the new one. So if you've been interested in that before, I mean, I'd definitely say check this out.
Yeah.
The artwork looks phenomenal. Luke Ross, who does a lot of the Hulk and Secret Avengers stuff, is the artist on it. But it's kind of like that art that me and Mike are both are big fans of, like Cowboy Ninja Viking. Ugh, so it's like
so good,
like a better done version of that. So
yeah, not as abstract, because Cowboy Ninja Viking was like, the art was great, but it was very all over the place. And this seems a little more put together, a little more contained, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so moving right along, we have Marvel Universe Ultimate Spider-Man number one. So, Sean, you want to talk about this one?
I'm not a huge Spider-Man
fan. Neither am I. It's hard. We wanted to bring it up on the podcast. We're just not big Spider-Man fans. I know he's a huge part of the Marvel Universe. The character just has never appealed to me, Peter Parker, in any way. I don't hate it. If you are a Spider-Man fan, that's great. I'm not slamming on you. I just, personally, I don't enjoy the character. But if you do enjoy Spider-Man, looks like there's a Spider-Man number one coming out, and also a Spider-Woman number one coming out. We don't really have much to say on that, other than if you're a Spider-Man fan, you're in luck.
Like Micah said, definitely check it out if that's what you're interested in. We just want to make sure that you guys know that there's new stuff coming out. So,
yep, we're just trying to give you the news. So moving right along, The Mighty Thor number one is coming out. Like Sean explained, Thor has given his hammer down to a woman now, and that's an interesting story to tell. I haven't really dove into this story yet, I admit. But it is intriguing, and I think anyone who sees the cover is like, that's not Thor. I think if you're a Thor fan, it would be an interesting story to jump right into. There's number one, so this is a great jumping on point.
Moving right along, to get through all this, Nova number one is the next one that we have. Like we said, Nova was on the cover of a lot of stuff lately. Also, Nova Corps was a big part of Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I think Nova in general has been making a pretty big comeback.
Yeah, I loved Nova. I read it for a long time. Just to give it a quick summary, because we're just trying to get through all these comics. It's essentially like the Green Lantern Corps for DC. Nova was in the Guardians of the Galaxy, kind of the equivalent, kind of policing the universe. Anyway, long story short, there was a mass genocide except for the main computer of the whole Nova Corps and one man. So he is Nova, and I'll leave it at that. And if that sounds interesting to you, you should totally get into Nova. It's a very, very interesting, great action-packed story. So Nova number one's coming out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Some awesome writers are working on this, and a lot of really good artists. Joseph Loeb and Ed McGuinness, who are like, write everything for Marvel.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, they do.
This new story actually started from Avengers versus X-Men, which was like Marvel's huge hit last year. So kind of just riding on the piggyback on that one. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be really interesting. It's a whole new Nova, by the way. Richard Rider was the original Nova, and this new character is Sam Alexander. But yeah, definitely take a look at it, see if you're interested. If you've read any of the stuff in the past, it's rumors are that it's going to be a really good book. So
Yeah, so moving right along, we'll just kind of glance over this one, Secret Wars 2, number one. That kind of dives into, I believe, Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of like the S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of story behind. They have heroes that S.H.I.E.L.D. hires as like kind of Black Ops. At least that's the last time that I read it, it was that. So
that's what I believe it is as well.
Secret Wars 2, number one is coming out. And then, Sean, what I'm excited for is Star-Lord, number one. And I love Peter Quill. I think he's a great character. Obviously, the Guardians of the Galaxy movie was very, very successful, and everyone enjoyed Star-Lord. So the cover of this one, the cover I'm looking at is Peter Quill, and he's got the Star-Lord mask and kind of like an astronaut suit. And basically, they're saying before Star-Lord was Star-Lord, he was an astronaut. And that sounds interesting to me. Anything that is a part of Peter Quill's origin, I think that's worth looking into and sounds like a good story to dive into. So, yeah.
Yeah, which is completely different than what the movie universe has portrayed him as so far. So
yeah, different, but, you know, if you're new to comic books or you're getting into comic books, just know that it's not always 100% that whatever's, you know, put in the movie is what's in the comics as far as origin stories. Yeah. Sometimes they are different and they, you know, there is debate about that, but we won't get into that right now. So.
And especially that, you know, understand that Guardians of the Galaxy, if you're not into comic books, has been around for a very long time. And it's not just a new occurrence with the movies that are coming out. So it has a lot of history and backstory already established. But yeah, the movie was just a fun take on it. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the last one that we're going to mention today, like I said, there are way more number ones. So if you're interested in something, you know, maybe what the, you know, Mike and Sean named all these number ones, I wonder what else is out there. Feel free to go look. These are the ones that we just thought that listeners would maybe enjoy to jump on and read about. But the last
sure. And ones that we were just interested in.
Yeah, and ones that we honestly thought that we were excited about. So the next one and the last one we're going to mention is Star Wars Vader Down number one. And for those of you who don't know, Marvel just recently acquired Star Wars comic rights from Dark Horse Comics. And honestly, Sean, I was upset about that. I think Dark Horse was doing a great job with Star Wars. You know, Marvel and Disney, they got money and they'll pay for the rights for whatever they have. And I think also Disney acquiring those Star Wars rights kind of bled into comic book rights as well. So I think Dark Horse had to, at the end of their contract, they had to give it up to Disney. So,
yeah, quite possibly. Don't know a lot about it. The comic cover looks amazing. So
it's Star Wars. You don't need to know anything else. It's Star Wars. Yeah. So
if you haven't seen it, definitely look at it because it's like Darth Vader walking away from his crashed ship, and it's like super thematic. So looks awesome.
Yeah, I think they did good with the art. So yeah. So, Sean, I this is something I don't know. This next segment we're very excited about. This is episode 5. We had such a big, huge, wonderful, just, man, when we went out this week and put out everything on social media, it was such a great response we got from everybody. And we thought it would be really fun if you just got to get to know us a little bit more about everything. So it's just kind of like we would call it the 5280 Nerd Host, kind of like question and answer type thing. So,
yeah. And in the future, we would definitely, you know, as we gain more listeners and more people start to hear about us, it'd be fun to do these every now and then and even answer questions that you guys submit. So if you do have a question and you want to submit it, definitely do that. You could do that on our website or to our Twitter accounts that we'll give out later. But yeah, we'd be open to answer whatever you guys, or if you guys have questions or things that we might be interested in and want to hear what our take on it is. But yeah, let's get into it, man. Let's start off with, what's your, favorite video game?
Now,
Micah McCartney.
Yeah, that's such a hard question. Just a brief, overview of like where I've come from. I love Nintendo. I love Xbox. I love PlayStation. They're all great. I love gaming, period. I'm not prejudiced to any of those, like to Xbox or PlayStation or specifically Nintendo. So this was hard. I was like, collectively, my whole life, I probably played more Mario Kart and Super Mario Brothers than anything. But Sean, a video game that first came to mind when we were writing, you know, for this show and trying to figure out what our favorite video games were, the first thing that came to mind was Mass Effect for me. I love all three Mass Effects. I felt like it was such a submersive, wonderful experience that really could have been its own, like... like Halo. It could have been bigger than Halo, in my opinion, if they would have kept making games and it had like a multiplayer component like Halo did. I just felt like Shepard was this commander who was like this hero saving the galaxy, and it's been done a million times, but it was done in such a way that I know it has a big following, and everyone who played Mass Effect, it's gotten great reviews across the board, great storytelling, really a submersive game, and that was one that just will always be close to my heart. So I'd say 1 through 3. I'm not going to say specifically 1 or 2, just that whole gaming franchise of Mass Effect is definitely, okay, I would say my favorite, one of my favorite games, that or Halo, but for the sake of the show, I'll go with Mass Effect. How about you, Sean? What's your favorite video game?
Well, I went old school. I went off of sheer hours I played them. So these are definitely throwbacks. First one, I had two that I kind of went back and forth on, and I ended up deciding just to put both in. Super Mario Brothers 3 for NES in the 90s, 1990s when it was released. Played it so much all the time. Was a huge fan of it. Still to this day would love playing it. Definitely has a special spot in my heart. Is the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Pretty good. That's a pretty, pretty good game.
Yeah. I was a huge Ninja Turtles fan when I was a kid. Dressed up for them in Halloween. Loved the cartoons. Loved the movies. The video game was amazing. Yeah. It was just all around. Loved it. So
awesome, man. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was hard for me because, like, Halo first popped in my mind because I had played so many Halo lands with my friends for summers on end.
Yeah.
But as far as a overall game, man, that was a hard question to boil down.
Sure.
But single player game experience for just like your favorite video game. Yeah. Mass Effect for me. And so, but Sean, I was actually asked a question by some listeners of ours about, you know, why did you guys choose Xbox? Why did you guys not go with PlayStation or Nintendo? And I thought that that's something that we should address. So, Sean, I'll let you kick it off. But why did we choose Xbox?
I had PlayStation, the first one, which was a good console. And then I switched over to the Xbox when it came out, and I had Xbox, and I had Xbox 360. And then those were the predominant consoles that I played. A lot of the games I was into and was playing and was used to playing on were on 360, so it kind of just made a natural progression for me. PlayStation 3 did okay, but it was kind of a flop as far as, like, industry standards go, and almost, It as far as how much money it brought Sony, it almost killed Sony. So
yeah, they lost a lot of money. Yeah.
So I didn't have a lot of confidence in Sony. I think PlayStation 4 was a leaps and bounds better than what they've done in the past, and I think it's a fine system, and definitely, Micah had mentioned that he was thinking about purchasing one. And I also am thinking about getting one as well, to get some of the titles that aren't cross-platform. But yeah, it was just a matter of convenience, honestly, for me. You know, I felt like Microsoft, for some reason, in my opinion, made terrible computers. But, you know, they, or I guess operating systems, I should say. But they do great in the game world, and their game system and division has always been on point, and they always come up with really innovative, new, creative gear. So, yeah, it just seemed like a natural progression for me. How about you?
Yeah, so for me, I had a little bit of a different experience. Like, I was very fortunate to have either a friend. Like, I had an Xbox, and, of course, I had a Sega Genesis, like a PlayStation. And then when Xbox came out, that was my console. But my brother-in-law at the time had a PlayStation 2. So I would play on his, and then I'd play on my Xbox, and he'd play on my Xbox. And we would just kind of go back and forth. So I had a really, I was really fortunate to be able to play on both for pretty much every generation of console since PlayStation 1 and Xbox. I did own a Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3. Something that a game that I really wanted that was only exclusive to PlayStation 3 was DC Universe Online, Sean. And I remember when this came out, I was, because of course we're big comic book fans of DC, it was like pretty much World of Warcraft, but with DC characters you could make. And when that came out, I was like, oh my God, if it's not on Xbox, I'm going to lose it. And of course, it was on PlayStation 3. So I went out and bought a PlayStation 3 just for that game. And I love PlayStation. I think that it's great that Xbox and PlayStation are competitive with one another. It's only going to make games better, and it's only going to be good for the gaming community. I definitely will get a PlayStation 4 at some point in time. But right now I just picked Xbox because honestly, all my friends are playing Xbox and, I my Xbox Live account, I have so many gamer points and achievements that I can look back on. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't want any listener to think that we're prejudiced towards Xbox. We will definitely in the future do reviews for PlayStation 4 games, you know, and Xbox games and Nintendo games. I do own a Wii U and an Xbox right now. So PlayStation 4 is next in line. So that was a question asked to me, and I just wanted to address it. So there you go.
Absolutely.
All right, moving along to our next question. We wanted to let our listeners know what our favorite movie was. Another hard question. But, Sean, again, I'll let you kick this one off.
So, I am a huge movie buff. And this question was almost impossible for me to answer.
Yeah.
I tried so hard to get a small list, and I ended up with, like, 10.
It's hard.
Yeah. Just going to give a rundown of the ones I came up with. And even these 10 hurt me. So I'm just going to give what I came up with.
Go for it.
Goonies was the first one that came to mind. An amazing movie that meant a lot to me growing up. Godfather movies, Back to the Future franchise, Breakfast Club, Star Wars, Goodfellas, Casino, Good Will Hunting, The Dark Knight, Groundhog Day, Shawshank Redemption, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Gremlins, Braveheart, and Ghostbusters were all on my top 10 list. That's probably more than 10, but I don't give a shit because it's my podcast. So I could give more than...
Exactly, yeah. We make the rules, okay? Don't you forget it.
Don't you dare talk to me.
No, those are all good. And for our listeners, I just want you all to know, Sean is way more knowledgeable about movies than I am. I love movies. I enjoy movies, but Sean is very, very, very knowledgeable when it comes to movies, and his spectrum is way broader than mine. But I would agree with all those movies Sean said except Gremlins. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. That movie was horrible.
Shut your mouth, you dirty little whore.
It's okay. I'll forgive you. But for my
this podcast is over.
We're done as friends.
We're done.
My favorite movie was also hard to whittle down, but it came down to two for me. Like, I guess three, like Goonies, for sure is in there. I've watched that movie a million times as a kid. The Dark Knight is probably my favorite movie of all time, just because Heath Ledger blew me away, and I'm such an avid Batman fan. When that movie came out, I was like, yes, that's what I wanted my whole life, yes. And so I think Dark Knight is my favorite of all time, and then another second favorite is probably Braveheart. So, yeah.
Yeah. Those are all on my list, so I definitely agree with you. Except for on the Gremlins thing. And you could go to hell.
You're wrong. You're wrong. Hashtag you're wrong. So, okay, so moving right along, we have our favorite comic book. This was almost harder than favorite movie.
Yeah.
So this
one. Well, you kicked this one off, buddy.
I am going to kick this one off. So, obviously, big Batman fan. So, Sean, I think you could probably guess this since you're my best friend, but Batman and Robin, done by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, the run that they did. So just to set up what was going on in this, Batman had just been shot by a time ray, and he is lost in time. So Gotham is sprawled into chaos because Batman's not there. So Dick Grayson, who is the first Robin, is forced to take on the Cowl with Bruce Wayne's son, Damian Wayne, and they are the new Batman and Robin, while Bruce Wayne is trying to come back from in this strange time travel story, which was done brilliantly. And during that time, I found, if you've never read comics, start with that. It was a New York Times bestseller by Frank Quitely. It was widely, widely popular. You can go into any Barnes & Noble to this day and find it, two or three of them on the shelf. They are phenomenal, from the art to the writing to the new villains that they introduce, everything. And so this struggle of Dick Grayson trying, you know, he can never be as good as Bruce Wayne is, you know, Sean. And it just that struggle of guilt and, you know, trying to be the best that he can, and he's failing, and Damian's out of control, and, you know, it was just because Damian Wayne is pretty much a cold-hearted killer, because Talia al Ghul, you know, his mom, and I don't know, just the whole culture of that book was incredible, and it produced one of my favorite villains of all time, Professor Pig. In the Batman universe. But man, if you haven't read that, that is a must read. So how about you, Sean?
So this one was a hard one for me as well. I had to go back and forth a lot on a lot of different comic books. I went with one that I used to read comic books a lot when I was a kid. There was a comic book shop that wasn't too far from where I lived, and me and my friends would walk. It was probably a couple miles, maybe. But that wasn't too far when you were a kid. So we would walk, and we'd go in and buy comics all the time. And they always had this big wall where you could draw. They would take like people's drawings, and they'd put them up. And so we'd always try our hardest to get our drawings up on this wall. We did a few times. But yeah, so I was really, really into comic books when I was a kid, and then I stopped reading them for a while, probably through junior high years and high school years, and then a little bit after high school, Micah really got back into comic books as well, and so I started to, too. We were really good friends, and one comic book that really meant a lot to me and really got me back into reading a lot in the last couple years was The Walking Dead. So I'm gonna have to put it, you know, and maybe not my favorite comic of all time or whatever, but the one that's meant a lot to me, and it's got me back to reading comic books, so I give it a lot of credit. Yeah, it's just the first compendium, when I read through it, I was like, I couldn't put it down. And if you haven't seen it before, it's like the biggest book on my shelf. And I
it's
have,
like War and Peace.
Yeah, with black and white zombies. And
it's pretty big, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if you don't know what Walking Dead is, you've probably seen the TV show, which is a sad interpretation of the comic book. I would definitely encourage you guys to check out the comic book if you haven't read it before, because it's way better than that stupid show.
I completely agree. And as your best friend, I should have guessed that. I was actually kind of on the edge of my seat. I was like, what is he going to pick? Yeah. Of course, yeah. No, Walking Dead was huge, and I also enjoyed it. I was more submersed in the DC side of things, but I still have great admiration and respect for Robert Kirkman, and Walking Dead is for sure.
A great writer.
Oh, he's incredible. And he has several. I mean, we could go on and on just about other comic books he read, because he's written a lot more than The Walking Dead.
He's written a ton. Yeah. He kind of got his start through Image and writing a whole bunch of different series, but he's definitely blown up, and he contributes a lot to actually the TV show now, and he's written a bunch of other stuff.
Pretty much owns Image right now. Image is pretty much alive because of Robert Kirkman. Yeah.
And he's done crossover stuff. He's written a lot of stuff for Marvel and DC. So he's a big part.
Absolutely.
Of the comic book world. But yeah, that would have to say, just because it got me back into reading comic books, I give it a lot of credit.
Awesome. So, moving right along, we have top five heroes, Sean. So why don't we do it this way? Why don't we do five being, you know, number five to number one, your most favorite. So we'll do top five.
We got to put them in order.
Well, if you don't want to, I put mine in order. If you didn't put yours in order, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm gonna say in no particular order on mine.
Okay, go but for it.
You go first, since you got this all planned out.
I got mine all planned out because I was like, I maybe took this way too seriously. But
yes, sounds like it.
you know me. So favorite superhero, I'll just kind of go through it in order. Let's see, number five, Nova. Nova is my number five. I really got hooked on Nova, and that I tried to mix it up with DC and Marvel stuff. So Nova's my number five. Yeah, mind blown, huh, Sean?
It's pretty blown, man.
Number four. What's that?
No, I'm just shocked. I didn't think I would hear that. Yeah. So
Nova's great. I definitely
keep blowing my mind, my friend.
Grab a trade of Nova, and if you're at Barnes Noble or wherever, and read it. It's great.
Barnes & Noble is not a sponsor for the show.
No, but they should. Because Micah
said it a million times.
Wolverine is number four. Logan, you just can't. I mean, he has to be in that list, in my opinion. He's an anti-hero, but he's a hero, and the whole character of Wolverine is incredible. Like I said, Old Man Logan is definitely one of my favorite depictions of him. Number three, Green Lantern. Got to put Hal Jordan in there, man. Big Green Lantern fan. And number two, we're going to have to go with Dick Grayson, Nightwing, baby. He's one of my favorites. Like I said, one of my favorite.
What?
Dude, Nightwing.
Number two.
That's why. What did I just say was my favorite comic? Batman and Robin.
That's fine, but shit, man. He was a sidekick.
No, dude. There's a whole Nightwing series, bro.
Yeah. All right. That's your list.
Yeah. Dick Grayson, why do you have a problem with that? I don't understand why you have a problem.
Just move on. I'm disappointed.
Dick Grayson is my number two. And, of course, number one is Bruce Wayne, Batman. He's my number one. And if he's not your number one, I don't know if we can keep doing this podcast together.
He is absolutely, and I said no particular order, but Batman is obviously my number one.
Yeah.
So
okay, so Batman, go for it.
DC Comics, 1939 was introduced in Detective Comics at the time. Bruce Wayne, billionaire businessman, owner of Wayne Industries, obviously number one. So mine are probably in order, I would say. Maybe? I don't know. Well, the rest are probably in order, but we'll leave it up to interpretation. The next on my list, I had Wolverine, who is from Marvel. Was introduced in 1974, obviously before I was born. So, known as Logan. His real name is James Howlett, for you guys that don't know. I was born in Alberta, Canada, during the 1880s. Phenomenal character, has way lived past X-Men, in my opinion. X-Men has always been a great universe and series, but Wolverine is so much bigger than that, I think. I like his character. I like everything about it. Green Arrow is up there in my top five.
I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird that also a DC character, also about the same time, was first released in 1941, so just a couple years after Batman. But another billionaire, businessman, philanthropist, owns Queen Industries, Oliver Queen. So yeah, it's kind of weird that they had those so close together. I mean, he's kind of obviously loosely based on Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, I guess, like the whole, both characters came about in the 40s and, all that stuff that was going on at the time as far as like, you know, the Depression and all that stuff and war. So like, rich people were obviously huge figures in that time with Rockefeller and all that stuff. And to have a character who robbed from the rich and gave to the poor, in essence, or protected the poor and the helpless, which is kind of the start of almost all superheroes.
Pretty much, yeah.
But Green Arrow, I've always liked everything about him. I thought he was a cool character. I've always appreciated the superheroes who don't necessarily have superpowers, but just have a willingness to do good. And he, more than Batman, I feel like he crosses the line sometimes into a gray area where I feel like Batman has a very strong, strict code that he lives by.
Yeah.
The next one is the Hulk. And these two are definitely could flip-flop back and forth. In the 60s, the Hulk came out. Bruce Banner. Like that character so much because his whole shtick is the more anything that you do to him just makes him madder. And so essentially he's invincible. There's no one that could beat him because whatever is thrown at him, his affliction, I guess you could call it, battles that and adapts to that.
Yeah.
So no matter what it is, he becomes stronger than that. The last one would be Green Lantern for me as well. Another character I really like. Awesome superpowers. Part of a bigger expanse than he is. So, you know, I think he... it's just cool. He's ultimately, he's the guy who has no fear. And that's why the ring picked him. So the idea of just being brave no matter what happens. And that he's part of a bigger group. Yeah, it's just interesting. His whole story is really interesting to me.
So, was Batman in that?
Batman was number one.
Batman's number one, okay.
We talked about that.
Okay, just want to make sure. So, we agreed on Batman, Wolverine, Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, because your other ones were stupid.
Whatever. The Hulk, yeah, come on.
The Hulk?
I disagree with the Hulk. Just because he's iconic and popular doesn't... I don't know.
He's not iconic or popular. He's just amazing.
I respect your top five.
I don't respect yours.
Hey,
so.
Hey, that's not how we roll on 5280.
You don't tell me what to do.
All right, moving right along, we have top five villains. All right. I will kick this
funny story, too, about this. Me and Mike were playing video games earlier, and he's like, dude, why won't you tell me your top five villains before we did the podcast? Because he just wanted to know. I won't tell him.
I made him wait. I did want to know really bad. And he's like, you just have to wait till the podcast. I'm like, you're dumb. We talk to each other all day, every day. Just tell me. Nope. Gotta wait, bro.
I don't want to ruin it.
Well, I'll go first, and then we'll hear
you
great villains.
You want me to go first so you don't have to wait any longer?
Oh, sure. Why don't you go? I'm on the edge of my seat.
Are you? Well, don't fall off, buddy, because here they come.
Okay.
First one, the Joker. Because he's the archenemy. Yeah. The interesting thing about Batman and the Joker was first introduced in the 40s, so a year after Batman came out. They have gone through so many different changes. Currently, I feel like the Joker's, there's like rumors and it's not canon, but people say that the Joker can't die, which would make sense.
Yeah.
because he won't die, and Batman won't kill him, or he, you know, he doesn't kill anybody. But he's archenemy of Batman. He's also been the Red Hood, which is another villain that I've always liked. Nobody really knows who he is, whereas everybody knows who Bruce Wayne is. Nobody knows Joker's real identity. There's a lot of different variants of who he could have been, but nobody really actually knows. And that's kind of part of... I read this really interesting article about the Joker where it was kind of part of his ethos that he is insane. So even he doesn't remember exactly who he was because he's lost his mind. And so all these different reiterations of who people say he is or what they think he is are all his thoughts of, well, maybe I was this or maybe I was that. And kind of like how Heath Ledger had the, do you want to know how I got these scars? And he tells a different story every time about it.
Brilliant.
Because he's insane.
Absolutely brilliant by Heath Ledger.
Totally. Yeah. So the Joker, ultimately, top one. I had Venom was one of my favorite villains. Because he has also been many different things. But ultimately, Venom is just a symbiote sentient alien. Who's just basically a gooey blob of black mess that takes over a body and becomes the most badass anti-Spider-Man villain ever. And like we said, we're not really big fans of Spider-Man. So I think that's why I like the villain the most. But yeah, he's always drawn phenomenally and pretty much could do anything with him. He's been a ton of different people. Peter Parker has been infected by Venom. Eddie Brock, all these different people. Sinestro was also one of mine, because he looks like a dirty old man. And so I think he makes a good villain. Like he looks like a 1930s guy who would tie you to a train track. He's just, he's one of those villains too, that was a good guy. Originally he was part of, Green Lantern Corps. But he went to the other side cause he felt like, he could do a better job at protecting the universe and kind of sold his soul, basically. Another one on my top five was Red Skull. Because I'm a history buff as well. I like politics a lot and everything like that. And so I liked the idea of Captain America, the original Captain America, and Red Skull kind of being this Nazi agent and this perfection of American society fighting each other, and it was always drawn really badass, and I didn't really like the version that they did recently in the Avengers and the Captain America movies, but and then my last one was General Zod from the Superman movie, because it was just really good. So
well done, dude. Well done. I actually, we are similar on some of those, and you'll see why. Okay. So number five, I'm going to count down to Magneto with the X-Men. Magneto is something that I've found, it's almost like his power, he's just so powerful, it scares the most strong moral men, even Professor Xavier. And I find that so interesting that he's just so feared. I don't know if there's a villain more feared than Magneto. At number four, I have the Reverse Flash. The Reverse Flash I find to be creepy and really evil. Spoiler alert, if you don't want to know what happens, don't listen. He ends up, Barry Allen finds out that his mother's murder is actually the Reverse Flash's fault. Through a series of backwards time travel and through the Speed Force, it was a very interesting story. Ultimately, you know, Barry Allen is good. And the opposite of good is evil. And man, is the Reverse Flash evil. He just has, the way he's ever been drawn and depicted, like he's just got those red eyes and his suit's yellow and kind of dingy. And it's almost like he doesn't even, have really a personality. He's just straight up raw evil. In I can't even explain it any more than that. You'd have to just read the comics, but I really liked how he was depicted as a villain. It was a villain that Barry Allen really couldn't figure out or understand, and ultimately he had to make the list. So moving to number three, let's see who I got here on my list. I have Sinestro as well, Sean.
Nice.
Sinestro is so good. I mean, he's fear ultimately. So he's part of the Sinestro Corps is fear, and the Green Lantern Corps is, you know, not supposed to fear. So he's rivaling that whole army by himself. He was a Green Lantern, but he was corrupted. And ultimately, I just feel like let's be honest, heroes are great, but villains can make heroes better. I think Sean would agree with me on that. Yeah. And I feel like the back and forth between Sinestro and Hal Jordan is such a wonderful, enthralling, it really takes the reader in, like, wow, this rival of fear and bravery is so interesting, and Sinestro definitely has to make it up there. So I got Magneto, I got Reverse Flash, I have Sinestro, and then, gosh, dude, this is so, so hard. I'm going to have to go with Professor Pig. I had mentioned earlier.
What?
From my...
That's your top five?
Yeah, dude. I felt like he was... Grant Morrison wrote this character, and
he like only lasted like three issues.
I know, but it was really cool because at this time Bruce Wayne was gone, and he was this creepy butcher who would put like this fake, decrepit, disgusting flesh pig mask on on his victims, and they would like turn into these like zombie pigs. And he would just like chop people up and kill them. And he was just absolutely insane. And just the way that he was depicted in Frank Quitely's drawings was, I mean, Sean, that art, come on. That art was insane. That was great. And yeah. I felt like even though it was a snippet of who this villain was,
yeah.
I felt like that villain, and I guarantee they'll bring him back. I 100% guarantee that he will be back in Batman comics as a villain. But his short glimpse that we got into him with Batman and Robin with Dick Grayson and Damian Wayne, I felt like was worth mentioning, and I just fell in love with that villain, so he made it on there. And then, so I have Magneto, Reverse Flash, Sinestro, Professor Pig, and then my number one is the Joker. Sean explained the Joker in a great way, so I'll just kind of mull over it really quick. I just feel like there's a way you can't explain Batman. It's so hard to explain. It's like he can defeat, like the Riddler challenges him on an intellectual level, and it's a very one note with the Riddler. You know, you have Bane who challenges him on a physical level, right? The Joker does that. It challenges him on a mental level because he's equally as smart as Bruce Wayne is. Would you agree? He's brilliant. The Joker is absolutely...
he's insanely brilliant.
Insanely brilliant. Like, yeah. He's fooled Bruce Wayne before. And yeah. He also challenges him on an emotional level. He also challenges him on a physical level as far as there has been times where Joker has mortally wounded Batman before. Every level, Batman, I feel he fears the Joker deep down. Whenever he knows that the Joker is behind something, he questions his ability as a superhero. Can I defeat the Joker? And that's shown in the comic books and the psychology of Bruce Wayne. And I feel like, wow, that's so brilliant, because if a hero's questioning his ability to actually save people because of this villain just being so evil, that's wonderful. I mean, the writers must just have a heyday with that, because that's how it comes across. And I would agree that Joker is number one villain, hands down. So
yeah, there was even some interesting lore that I've heard in the past that the Joker has almost a supernatural, I mean, we talked about, like, he can't die, and there's like lore that he might not be able to die, but he has like this supernatural sense of timing. There was previous stories that talked about different origins where he was a comedian before becoming the Joker, and that his son died and all this stuff, and he lost his wife. But yeah, that the reason he's able to pull off these crazy insane stunts and always get away with it is that he just has a supernatural ability to perfectly plan something,
yeah,
and meticulously bring that to be. So
it's fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating. How could you not put him at the number one?
Totally.
I mean, he's incredible.
Yeah, you had a good list, man. That was
I'm really sorry you were disappointed in Professor Pig, but he just
let me down.
Sorry, man. I felt like he had to be in there, and I want our listeners to be intrigued and be like, I want to know if that was top five. And I'm an avid comic book fan. I've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on comic books, so please, if I'm saying it's good, please go out and read it. I promise you, you won't be disappointed.
Definitely check it out. And that was kind of like my Zod was.
Zod's good. I'm not going to slam you on Zod.
Yeah. And like the comic book version of Zod wasn't that great to me. Previous versions of Zod weren't that great. But Michael Shannon's version.
Oh my gosh.
It was
incredible.
It was incredible. The ending of that movie, if you haven't seen Man of Steel, go see it, because it's great. Every part of it.
Like I said, the villain also makes the hero. It's weird how that works, but it's totally true.
And Michael Shannon just, oh my
gosh. Oh, and he killed it. He owned that role. He
is such a good actor. Man.
He's incredible.
Yeah. He's in, definitely go watch. So.
What a great addition to the DC universe.
Yeah. All right. Well, we need to keep moving along. We're taking a long time because these are things that we actually care about.
We're going over, but we know that you guys are enjoying this because you're getting to know us. So it's okay. This one will go over, and it's.
And if you don't enjoy it, then.
Then
we don't care.
Just keep listening.
Yeah, just keep listening. It'll get better, I promise. Just keep listening.
All right.
So next we have Marvel versus DC. And ultimately, you know, we're going to talk about a lot of different facets. Not like could Superman beat up Spider-Man or whatever. Like we're going to talk about the companies themselves, the industries, and then some of their characters, how they've done, and who we like better. So
yeah,
and why we like both, actually. So
yeah, well, Sean, why don't you kick this one off, because I'm curious to see what your opinion is on this.
Okay, I can do that. Marvel versus DC, ultimately, there's a lot of different things to take in consideration when you're looking at the two. Marvel is currently owned by Disney. Disney purchased them in 2009. DC is owned by Time Warner, which is Warner Brothers, pretty much. So they're owned by two ginormous corporations who have huge thematic movie presence in the world. Arguably, I would say Disney's maybe the larger of the two, but Time Warner has probably the potential to do more interesting things with their property.
I would agree with that.
So on that note, I would say I lean towards DC as a company, because I feel like Time Warner has the opportunity to do a lot better stuff with their properties. I think it's taken DC a lot longer to get on board with creating a unified universe. Marvel has done a way better job, honestly, at creating a universe that currently is phenomenal, as far as like if you look in the movies, they tie into the like TV shows that are coming out. You look at S.H.I.E.L.D., all the movies and TV shows tie into each other, which is incredible that they were able to do that.
Yeah.
Even on to like Netflix's Daredevil, talks about the movie version of the Avengers and stuff. So yeah. they are killing it as far as that goes. DC has been terrible up to this point, and they're actually finally getting their shit together, and hopefully it all turns out great with Batflick and everything that's coming along with that. Yeah, so I you know, as far as comic books go, I have more ties, I guess, to DC, and DC ultimately has more characters that I care about. But to be honest with you, I feel like Marvel has done a better job to this point. So hopefully DC is turning that ship. They're getting it right. How about you, man? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think if we're going to talk Marvel versus DC, we have to talk cinematic versus comics. So let's just talk about DC versus Marvel cinematic universe. Cinematic universe, Marvel obviously wins, right? So Marvel wins with their movies because they have it down. It's just, Sean just talked about it perfectly. But I have hope for DC. I feel like DC allows their creative directors and actors kind of more like in a sandbox. You've seen the funny memes of like DC of all their characters are in a sandbox, and Marvel is like the parent yelling, Disney's yelling at Marvel, like, make money.
Yeah.
And I feel like, but they do a good job. I mean, they're doing it right. So I think Marvel's winning the cinematic universe. But as far as comic book goes, DC, I feel like, has Marvel beat,
yeah,
hands down. If you want to get into a comic book universe, definitely I would recommend going with DC. That's not a slam. I do love Marvel comics. I still love Marvel. I still read Marvel comic books. But I feel like the characters and how they, DC is very more, they cultivate their comic book universe, I feel, better than Marvel. That's just my opinion. You can think I'm totally wrong, but I feel like if you're going to jump into a new universe, DC's where it's at. And they just recently had the new 52, so they just kind of restarted their new, all their big, how would you say it, Sean? They started all their new big characters over at one, like Batman number one, yeah. Superman number one, and it's a good jumping on point for somebody who enjoys comics, but just overall, the characters are more interesting to me.
I would say, you know, no matter what, me, and I know I speak for Mike on this, if you're reading comic books, we're happy for you. If it's Marvel or DC, that's great. Both have great characters, both have great comics. And if you haven't read comics, know that both comic books in general are just always all over the place. They never have all of them. All characters are going to die off at one time,
yeah,
or another. It's just the nature of comic books. They have different writers. I would have to say Marvel does a better job at keeping writers on a certain project longer than DC does. DC does switch their writers and artists a lot more frequently than Marvel does, or yeah, historically that's how it's been.
Yeah.
Some other differences just overall, I would say Marvel is definitely lighter, especially in the movies. You're going to get more of a
kid friendly,
happy go lucky view of the world. DC has always historically taken like more of a weight of the world on their shoulders, approach to their heroes. I mean, if you look at Batman, any of their superheroes, Superman, all of them, they always have this complex of like everything relies on them, and it's going to be hard and it's going to suck and it's not fun to be a hero, but you have to do it. You have to save the world. So yeah, at any cost. Whereas Marvel, it always looks fun to be a hero at Marvel for some reason. Like, yeah, there's like turmoil sometimes, and they definitely have their spouts, but not like DC's characters. So
yeah, I would agree. So we love both, but when it comes to movies, Marvel's great, DC's coming, we're hopeful, but comic books, I feel like DC, just the content of what their writers are, I just feel like their writers are better at DC. That's just my opinion, and the comic books are just killing it. So
that being said, read Image.
So, exactly. Exactly. Support the third party. The next one on the agenda is Avengers vs. Justice League. I personally, Sean, enjoy the Justice League better. I feel like the Avengers are a team, but it's still, I don't know, it still feels like all about Tony Stark or all about Captain America. Like, I don't know, Justice League is very, seems more team-based to me. It seems more, Martian the Manhunter is really involved, Aquaman. It's definitely doesn't focus on one particular character. It focuses on each and every hero coming together to defeat one enemy. I know the Avengers are that as well, but I feel like Justice League does that better. Yeah, so I prefer reading the Justice League. The Avengers are great, but it's very predictable with the Avengers. Justice League is not predictable at all. I feel like you don't know what you're going to get when it comes to story arcs with the Justice League. So,
true.
How about you, Sean?
I would agree. JLA all day. So, Yeah. Wow, that was the nerdiest thing we've ever done.
It is called 5280 Nerd, Sean.
I might edit that part out.
It's nope. Okay. Nope.
Nope. No, you will not. okay. Well, yeah, no, I agree. Justice League, in my opinion, is better. I don't know if you remember or if you read it, Micah. I had gotten a trade of it. There was a comic series called Avengers versus Justice League where their universes collide.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it was like 2003 through like 2004. But that was really cool. I mean, to see that happen. And I don't know if it'll ever happen again because of the state of the two companies are so huge. Hopefully it does. I don't know how much Time Warner and Disney hate each other. But I know Marvel and DC actually are really friendly with each other. Marvel and DC have always gotten along really well. They've never really had harsh feelings towards each other. Marvel has often been heard as referring to DC as distinguished competition for DC. So, you know, hopefully we can see some more of that huge crossover in the future. Like, I think if they could somehow, worlds aligned, stars aligned, have another movie where, like, at the end of DC's run and Marvel's run, they have, like, an Avengers versus Justice League happen.
Would be dope. Could
you imagine that movie, like that series that they could come out with?
It'd be incredible.
Oh, it'd be phenomenal. Okay, so we both like Justice League. Avengers is great as well. We'll leave it up to you. Again, these are all just our opinions. Don't take them as fact. Moving right along, getting more granular in our talk. Iron Man versus Batman. Two billionaire playboys who don't necessarily have superpowers, but have taken it upon themselves to save the world. Who do you like?
I prefer Bruce Wayne. Shocker. Yeah, I know you're all shocked. Here's why, and I'll make it quick and easy and simple. Tony Stark has a good heart. He's a hero, but at the same time, he is very vain. And the comic books depict that very well. Robert Downey Jr. What am I trying to say, Sean? He portrays that very, very well. And Bruce Wayne, when he's Batman, it's all about saving other people. It's not about him. He'll sacrifice himself and do whatever it takes. I like how when it comes to Justice League, Batman, I guess, could have an ego when it's coming to, like, planning things. But yeah. I feel overall Batman's motives are more pure and he is incorruptible. Tony Stark is vain and questionable. I don't know if he is, incorruptible. So that's my main reason for Batman.
I think that's kind of part of what makes Iron Man Iron Man is that he is so full of himself that he believes nobody else could do what he has to do.
Exactly.
And that has allowed him to do great things. That has pushed him to become a superhero and to save the world in countless times in their universe. But yeah, it is almost spurred by vanity, whereas Batman's is more...
It's a noble cause with Batman.
Yeah, right? it's definitely, it's again, about honor. It goes back to that DC, I have to take the weight of the world on.
Yeah.
Not because of my own vanity or not because I think, well, I think maybe in a way, Batman does have that same complex that he feels like if he doesn't do it, nobody else will.
Yeah, but it's not because it's still very humble. That's how it comes across to me. Because he does it because it's right, not because he wants to. It's definitely a sacrifice.
There's definitely like a bit of arrogance in the side of like to think that he's the only one that could do it. And he has saved. There's like a big thing, especially in the Justice League, where there's even been a series about he's had to stop everybody else because they were turned, like the rest of the Justice League had mind controlled or whatever. He has plans and contention how to stop all these people just in case they do turn.
Always got a plan B. Always got a plan B.
He knows how to stop Superman. He has a plan to stop the Flash. He has a plan to stop Aquaman. He just takes him out of the water and then he stopped.
Aquaman jokes. Love it.
But yeah, no, I totally agree. Batman, obviously, he's my favorite hero of all time. So, moving along, who do we have next?
Hulk versus Superman.
Yeah, two big characters. Obviously, Superman, probably the most well-known, biggest superhero of all time.
Yeah.
Pretty much the first superhero. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. Me and Mike are both not huge fans of Superman. We like the movie a lot, but he's never been like a top character for either of us. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Christopher Reeves in his movies that he did of Batman. Or, I mean, of Superman.
Yeah, really, we're diehard nerds. If it's a superhero movie, we're gonna watch it.
Right.
But, like, ultimately as a character, would you say you're a huge fan?
I would say I've become a bigger fan. He's still not one of my favorites, but Man of Steel, Christopher Reeves, and Grant Morrison did All-Star Superman, which was great. But other than that, he's pretty predictable, I feel like.
Yeah. Again, that comes back to, like, a lot of my favorite characters and heroes are people who aren't necessarily super human, whereas like Superman, that's the epitome. I mean, there is, especially for a guy who's basically invincible, they definitely do find ways to, he gets his ass kicked like every comic book,
yeah,
he always comes back and wins. But yeah, it's different. And the same way with the Hulk, I guess ultimately, he's unbeatable. And not to say like whose powers are better. But I've really enjoyed reading Hulk comics, and I know you haven't always gotten into them, but I think his story is a lot better than Superman's. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, as far as Hulk versus Superman, we're talking about who's more interesting as a character, and who would we prefer to read? We still love these characters, but these are our opinions. I think I would agree with you. I would agree that the Hulk is more interesting to read than Superman, just because Superman is always good and so powerful, it can become predictable. But I am becoming a bigger Superman fan, but this one I think would go to Hulk.
Yeah. Why do you think, like thematically in movies and whatnot, they have not been able to make a good Hulk?
I feel like the most recent Bruce Banner with, I'm forgetting the actor's name on the cuff, who recently is playing the Hulk in the Avengers 1 and 2 and all that, but Mark Ruffalo, that's his name, Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
He's done a great job. I think he's actually been the best Hulk for Marvel. I would agree. He plays this guy who's just ashamed, and he's so crippled with guilt. Because he just kills people when he loses control, you know, and he's so fearful of what's inside of him. And I think he's done a really great job. But yeah, there's been several Hulk flops.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just because he's been kind of a part of a team, or I don't know if they intend to make another stab at it with Ruffalo or not, making his own movie, but it has not come across well since.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was like they just didn't pour the money into the graphics that they needed to. I mean, they do a great job in the Avengers, better than the previous movies. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe Maybe they'll give it another shot, or he'll just continue to be a part of the Avengers. So
we'll see, man. We'll see. But moving right along, we have Captain America versus Green Lantern.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. I'm going to edge over just slightly with Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern, just because Hal Jordan is vain. He's very arrogant.
Yeah.
I would compare him more to Iron Man. In the DC universe, he's kind of like that. But I feel like he's more interesting of a character because he has to overcome fear so much, and I think that that's something writers enjoy and readers love to read. And overcoming fear is just a classic and compelling story, and that's ultimately what Green Lantern is.
Yeah, I actually had Green Lantern in my top heroes, but when you compare the two, ultimately I kind of like Captain America more, and maybe this is something that I didn't realize about myself until just this moment.
Now, Steve Rogers is a good character, don't get me wrong. I love him, and there was Secret Wars. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. He was in a Secret Wars Marvel little story arc, and he's great in that. Like, he's a leader. He's precise. He definitely is not arrogant. I mean, he was a soldier in World War II.
Very selfless.
Very selfless, and that is appealing. But the whole, like I said, the reason why Green Lantern edges above that is because of what Green Lantern has to do to overcome fear is much more compelling and interesting to read than Captain America just being, I don't know, stronger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I still, I'm going to have to go to Captain America on my side.
Okay. All right.
I think he's just, I think at the same time, he overcomes fear all the time. I don't think he necessarily wants to go fight, especially like Red Skull, or he's definitely not as powerful as the Green Lantern, and he still takes on as much responsibility and danger.
That's true.
And he does it with a selfless act. The campiness of like the America's the greatest is a little tiresome.
Yeah.
But you think when it was created back in the 40s, it was probably something that was very needed. But yeah, his character as it's evolved, I think, is just it's a good character. It's got a great backstory. Like I said, I'm really into history and politics and stuff like that. So I think that side of it edges it out for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's propaganda of World War II in real comic books where, you know, you have Steve Rogers, Captain America, punching Hitler in the face on like an issue of a real life Captain America comic book. And I think that the history of actual America is interwoven in that story, and I think that that's really neat for sure. I think that's cool.
And Green Lantern on the other side, very polar opposite, is very sci-fi-ish. I mean,
yeah, it's sci-fi.
It's all about aliens, and
which I prefer, I think, maybe a little bit more than you do. I like that.
It's a little more realistic on the Captain America side. All right, well, moving along, we could have different opinions, and I'm sure you guys have different opinions than us as well. So we've talked a lot about comic books today, a lot more about comic books than we have in the past. Do you feel like being a comic book reader, somebody that both of us have went from going to comic book shops and have since transferred more over to reading stuff on digital devices as far as like iPads and stuff, do you feel like the days of the comic book are dying? Are we at an end? Are they adapting well enough, fast enough to keep around? What do you think?
I think, so this is hard because I've thought about this for a long time and I can't really come up with a clear and concise answer because there is such a devoted following of people who love this so much. Marvel, DC fans, nerd fans alike, like Comic-Con is massive. Like, there's millions and millions and millions of fans all over the world. It's merchandised everywhere. I think actual comic books might eventually go to all digital, and comic book stores are dying. That's a fact, which is very sad. just because Amazon and Kindle and digital prices are cheaper. That's just a cold, hard fact, and I don't want that to happen, but I feel like comic books will last, at least for the foreseeable future. I mean, definitely I think they'll be around still 50 years from now.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't think that they'll be a lot more rare in print. I think it'll eventually go all the way to digital. But when that's sad, and in that way, it kind of is a dying art. Because you want the original copy. Like, let's say like a server crashed on a cloud for, you know, Kindle or Amazon, and you lost all that stuff, you know, and they had to like, oh, we're going to refund you your money, or you can get these issues back. Like, it's nice to have an actual physical copy of art in front of you that you can keep as like part of history, essentially. And it means something to you. It's a lot more labor intensive. If you do have comics, you know that you have to board them in plastic and put them in a box, and they take up a lot of space. And there is a little bit of a downside to it, but
absolutely. I mean, on the opposite side, you know, if my house burns down, all my physical copies are gone, which is probably more likely than Amazon's servers crashing.
For sure. No, for sure.
And if it did, I could still tomorrow after my house burnt down, go and re-download my comics that I've already purchased.
First thing you're going to want to do when your house burns down. Oh, shit. I just need to read some Batman. This stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a good point.
So I see the convenience side of it. It is nice to have a physical copy. One of the reasons that I switched to digital, like Micah said, that it's a pain in the ass, man. Like, I have three large boxes, comic book boxes, now in a whole shelf full of just trades and stuff that I'm in the process of moving right now, and it's the worst to pack all that shit, and they weigh so much, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not trying to one up Sean by saying I'm better, but I have seven long boxes of comics, and I actually, I don't know if our listeners know, but I collect a lot of Batman black and white statues from DC Direct. So DC Comics offers a line of like cold cast porcelain hand-painted statues that they make that are limited edition. They make them in batches like of 3,000 or 2,500. I collect those, and I have a bunch of those. But I mean, I think that's more fun to collect, John, like statues or action figures or like memorabilia, like, you know what I mean? I feel like that's more fun to collect now than actual physical comic books. Just the convenience is too great, and the price being cheaper on, you know, digital is just too great. Unless they could compete with physical copies being cheaper.
Yeah.
That's the only way I could see myself going back, you know?
Yeah, especially with how many trades or how many issues come out every week and month.
Oh, my gosh.
It just becomes too much to handle. See, I don't mind going into a store and buying a trade of a series that I've fallen behind on. I'll go do that sometimes because it is nice. As Mike had mentioned before, I do graphic design and web design for a living, so I'm on a computer a lot. So it is nice every now and then just to have a physical copy of something and read it. So I'll switch back and forth when it comes to trades. But if I'm following something as far as like issues, it's definitely almost always digital or I'll wait till a trade comes out and I can buy it digital or the physical copy because it becomes too much to collect. And especially if you're buying an issue, then just the collector side of me will instantly want to wrap it and put a card back on it and put it into my boxes.
Yeah.
And that just is a lot of stuff to keep around and keep track of. So,
yeah. So ultimately, I think me and Sean would both agree. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sean. Will comic books last? Yes. Comic books are going to be around. They just might not be around in actual paper form. They will be around in digital form, probably.
Totally. In this renaissance of nerddom that's happening currently. They're more popular than ever, for sure. And I think more people are reading them than ever, which is kind of a disappointment, I'm sure, to comic book store owners who have probably saw a decline in people actually buying physical copies opposed to buying digital. But, hopefully they're able to keep it going. I know there has been a movement for handmade goods in the past, and it's continuing to go on. So hopefully, it'll continue.
Yeah, so. No, we're hopeful, but don't get down. Comic books are definitely something you should get. You should jump on board with. I think if you are a nerd and you've never really read comic books or got into it, you will find a lot of joy in it. I promise you. You will find a lot of it's things that that'll shock you and entertain you. And I definitely would recommend it. Comic books aren't going away. They just might be going away as far as real copies. So, yeah, there it is. So our last question for this long show, which if you're still listening, we so appreciate it. this was a good episode. I mean, we wanted you guys to know us a little bit more, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. But the last question we have for this show is, do we like anime?
Nope. Thanks, folks. Have a good night.
I knew you were going to do that. So, do we like anime? I'm going to start off, and John doesn't like anime, but he'll give you his reason. I like anime because it is just a different form of art. I really enjoy the art of anime. There are some genuinely incredible stories. The storytelling is so much more science fiction, way more science fiction-y than American comics, and I think that's why they're not as popular in America, is because people don't really like that crazy science fiction storytelling. But I love it. Some that I love, obviously, you know, my Twitter handle is Vash, so that's Vash the Stampede from Trigun. That's my favorite anime of all time. If you haven't seen Trigun, I really recommend it. I think it's on Netflix still. If not, you can find it somewhere online. I also love Bleach. Bleach is great. I loved Gundam Wing growing up. Man, the list goes on and on and on. But yeah, I do enjoy anime. I think it's a great, it's a different kind of art that I enjoy. And I mean, Dragon Ball Z, of course, duh. I mean, who doesn't like DBZ? Sean doesn't. So Sean, what do you think? Go ahead. Tell us why you don't like anime.
My first experience with anime was Dragon Ball Z, and I think it's god-awful, horrible art. And as being a graphic artist, I couldn't accept it. I grew up watching cartoons, and as an avid cartoon lover, watching a dude in still motion screaming with light behind him didn't constitute action to me. So right there, it put a bad taste in my mouth. I thought the stories were always kind of weak. The anime that I'd read up to a certain point in my life was like about girls in high school or in private school outfits giggling and love stories, which I thought was stupid, and I understand why anybody liked that. But in the last couple years, there have been a few instances of anime that I actually do like. Attack on Titan was phenomenal. I read it. I watched the movie, the animated movie. Which was great. Definitely check that out. If you're curious about anime and you're not sure if you want to get into it, it's a great way to get into it. Outside of that, I haven't really found anything that I really liked. I just never been a fan, man. And Attack on Titan, the art, I know I'd mentioned it before that I thought Dragon Ball Z's art was stupid. Attack on Titan's art is phenomenal. Everything about it was really well done.
Yeah, there are definitely some really poorly done art in anime, and then there's some actually very talented, skilled, incredible anime. But to each his own. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, and if you guys like anime, then God bless you, and I hope you continue to like it. This is just my opinion. I'm sure we have a lot of differing opinions on a lot of different things. Even me and Micah as best friends, we have different opinions on things. And that's what makes life interesting. So
yeah, it's good. It's a good thing. So, wow, Sean. Oh my gosh. It was a good show. And we felt it was important for listeners to get to know us more. So that's why we did that.
Yeah.
Please, please, we really want to encourage you guys to contact us. Give us things that you want to hear in the show. You know, we want to hear from you guys. Hit us up anytime. I mean, tell us what you thought of this show. I mean, what do you think, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. The only way we get better is to hear how we can get better. So if you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Sean H. Porter. And also you could contact us through our website, 5280nerd.com. Mike, why don't you give the folks your Twitter handle?
Sure. My Twitter handle is VASH0077. That's VASH0077.
And if you liked our podcast and you've listened to it and you continue to like it and you're still listening, for the love of God, just go and subscribe to our show and like us and rate it and give us 5 stars because you know you want to. So,
yeah, do it.
And that's on iTunes. So, yeah, go to iTunes, do that. It's really important. It helps us out. All right, folks. Well, we reached the end of another show. We hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, guys. See you next week.